Intervju Radija Študent.
Dobar dan, lep pozdrav v terminu za Ereš intervju. Danes bomo slišali posnetek, žal, smo naredili zasedbo Efterklang, torej pred tonsko vajo smo se pogovarjali z vokalistom Kasperom Klausnom, povedal precej zanimivih stvari, sicer bi bil lahko intervju še malo daljši, ker je imel precej zapovedati, ampak kot rečen sem imel za tem tonsko vajo. Sicer gre pa za en zelo zanimiv bend, nekako vmes med post-rokom, elektroniko, synth-popom, pač počne en tako en zelo svoj izraz. Izdajali so albume pri dveh zelo zanimivih založbah. Ena je taka mal manjša, rekel si je Leaf Label, se si še reče, zelo zanimiva muzika izhaja, med tem kot druga je pa legendarna 4AD, pri 4AD-u so zdaj v zadnjih letih in Kasper nam je povedal, evo tudi kakšne so izkušnje med drugim s tema dvema založbama. Danes zvečerih boste lahko videli v Menzi, v Channel Zero na Metelkovi. Stvar se bo začela ob 9:30 z domačim Kristjanom Kropo, potem ob uro poznaj pa torej zasedba Efterklang. Zdaj bomo slišali pa še do konca tale komad z njihove zadnje plošče Piramida, potem pa intervju.
And I wonder. There is nothing else that appeases the pieces I stray. When I forget about it,
exotic locations, and I didn't have to look really too much because I saw that you played in Seoul, Korea, a week ago. Is that right, or did I?
No, we're playing there in 3 weeks, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just that one gig in Korea?
No, we have we do 6 concerts in the south east part of Asia. So we're gonna go to Kuala Lumpur, and then to South Korea, Singapore, Taiwan, Hong Kong, and Shanghai.
Have you played in Asia before?
We played Japan in December last year, and then we've played in China. That's it.
Yeah. How did people there accept your music? It seems kind of exotic for
them. Yeah, it's super exotic. It's very different than playing over here, I think. Mm-hmm. Even though I also think it changes, like playing here to playing in Denmark. Mm-hmm. But I think over there, people, they react differently. And I think most of all, I feel much more exotic myself. Mm-hmm. So I think like you, it's a very different feeling playing for for people. In Japan, for example, you have just a very special way of, people have a very special way of listening to music at concerts. They don't talk at all, and then you have to kind of allow them to clap, stuff like that. So there's whole rituals there that are completely different, which I think it's really interesting to try, of course, and also to see how it works.
Sounds that way as well. And you played in the United States earlier this year as well.
Yeah.
And I know this kind of like post-rock, mix of post-rock and electronic music, the way you play, maybe, I don't know, some people compare it to Sigur Rós sometimes, and Sigur Rós are really big in the States, and you can find them on soundtracks for big Hollywood productions and stuff. And I'm interested, do you think, because in Europe I have a feeling that this music, or this maybe Scandinavian post-rock kind of music, or this type of music, became really popular maybe 10 years ago when you started, and then kind of faded away. Some bands became really big, and it almost seemed as a kind of trend that faded away, whereas in America it only starting to get big, you know, in recent years. Did you maybe see that difference when you were playing in States?
Yeah, but I don't think I agree so much, actually, because I think if you're talking about, first of all, I also think Efterklang is changed. Maybe it's not fair to say to Sigur Rós, but I think Efterklang has changed much more musically than Sigur Rós have done. And Sigur Rós sounds have, of course, also evolved, but I think we've maybe touched a bit more different areas in what we're doing. And we started very much off in the same maybe field with the same things, but at the same time, when we were inspired by bands like Björk and Sigur Rós and Moom from Iceland, it was just as much from bands like Godspeed and the whole constellation, which was Canada at that point, and which was to me much more like the center of post-rock. So I mean, I think a lot of those bands that I consider post-rock or the fathers of post-rocks are from that side of the pond anyway.
Maybe your sensibility is a bit more alike, especially Icelandic.
Yeah.
I don't agree on that quite.
No, I mean, it's always difficult, I think, when one judges their own music to really, really know how it affects everyone else. I mean, when we play music, play concerts, it's a wonderful thing. You get to play music and you get to see how people react on their music right away. While it's always difficult with success and stuff like that. I don't know. We play in it's tough to ask or like
maybe
answer.
Compared to the best the most well-known.
Oh, then we have Denmark like totally not nobody.
To us is Trendmiller.
Okay, compared to Trendmiller, we are a very small band. But I think all over the place we are very small and compared to Trendmiller. Trendmiller is a big name. I think he's also a big name on the club scene, which is something Efterklang never been part of. And I think he's been, you know, he for good reasons have been gaining like a big popularity all over the world. Mm. Which is, I guess, and now he started playing with a band and stuff like that, which is something else. But he's been doing a lot of things, so yeah.
Mm-hmm. Are you still in touch? Because I know you moved to Berlin several years ago. Are you still in touch with the local scene, maybe in Copenhagen?
Well, Rasmus from the band, who's bass playing bass and also managing the band, is he still lives in Copenhagen. Mm-hmm. And Mess, the third guy, is also living in Copenhagen now, actually. Mm-hmm. His wife is studying there. So I'm actually the only one living in Berlin these days. But then Mass is coming back to Berlin. So, you know, we're a bit in between. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
How does that work out? Not to only part, you know?
Yeah, no, it works okay as long as we're doing the music together in the same room. It's not happening on Skype and stuff like that, but a lot of things in our life and with the band is happening on emails and decisions. And now for the last year we've been touring a lot, so we've been
spending
a lot of time together anyway. And then now when we're making music, it's then it becomes crucial again to start figuring out to meet, you know, and get together, because I find it's very important for us to have to kind of get together when we make music. It's difficult to sit apart and mm-hmm. think, and, you know, you have to kind of meet. But then you know, then when you get together, you're really focused on the thing. You're not, you know, you're doing, and then you really do it. So mm-hmm. It has both pros and cons. Mm-hmm.
What's the reason you moved to Berlin? At one point, I don't know, were you all three living in Berlin or Rasmus never?
Rasmus never lived there.
Mm-hmm. What was the reason you moved?
Well, there's a lot of reasons. Mads and I moved there 3 years ago. Mads had his wife were moving from America over Hungary, and they wanted to find a new home together, so they mm-hmm. thought maybe mm-hmm. Berlin was good. For me, I had a girlfriend at that time as well, and I always kind of liked the city a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So now they have a really strong music scene.
Oh, yeah.
So I thought maybe that was one of the reasons.
Absolutely. No, absolutely. Of course. That's a big... But I mean, there's both personal and mm-hmm. and the musical. The reasons for it was both like personal and also like... Peter Broderick, who was in the band at the time, also moved to Berlin and met a bunch of guys down there. A bunch of guys that we also started working with afterwards when we moved there, so it's just like seemed natural, like a natural place to go and find like new people and maybe try and start something new in a way.
Mm-hmm. You know, the first time I heard about you, you released your first album on Leaf label. Mm-hmm. How did that happen? Because it was a really popular label at that time, I think.
Yeah, Leaf label was and. Is still a great label, and they were sort of like the first label to sort of pick up on Efterklang. We sent out some demos to different labels, and then they said.
Also, you sent them a demo, and they liked it.
Yeah. They listened to everything, which is great, and they liked it. They were a little concerned about our size. At that point, we were 10 people band, and Leaf label were like Caribou and Murkov and Colleen, all these.
Just kind of main bands.
Yeah. So Tony, the label owner, I remember, was a bit like, don't know if this is gonna work. But then, luckily, it's a long story. We can take that next time. Then it happens. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you know, to me, it seems that Leaf was, as I said, really popular label at that time.
Sure.
And then I think that people kind of got tired of that particular sound mm-hmm. because it seems that they were kind of chasing this similar kind of artists, you know. Doing stuff between electronic and rock music, mm-hmm. But then it seems that this trend
faded away. Do you feel the same about that? Because in the recent years, maybe we didn't hear so much from the Leaf as much as we did in the
past. Yeah, I think also Leaf's focus changed a lot. The bands they're signing nowadays is very different from what they were signing when we were getting signed to the label. And I think that this comes down to, that's the cool thing about Leaf label is anyway, that it's really one person's mind, it's Tony Morley. Mm-hmm. And whatever he gets into, maybe he discovers a band and he works a bit with the band and he goes like, oh, this is great. And then they have some friends, like what happened to the new thing, that the new things that he's signing is pretty much all kind of, a lot of it is tied together, like friends, kind of like a little collective of different people kind of putting out different things. Mm-hmm. So I think it's, you know, it like everything else, it develops over time. It never stops. And I understand what you're saying, and I think the Leaf label is still a unique label. I think it's just the times of being a label has just changed a lot. It's just difficult. Mm-hmm. I mean, rock, electronic, to me, genre doesn't matter at all to me, as long as the music and the content of the music talks to me. Mm-hmm. And I think whatever any artist are doing at any point of their, you know, whenever it's coming out, if they're playing banjo or computer, if it has something, mm-hmm. it's gonna reach the people. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And with the third album, then left Leaf and mm-hmm. signed for a deep. Tony Morley used to work for a deep.
Yeah.
What's this connection for you?
Oh, you know a lot about Tony.
I was a big fan.
Oh, great.
Basically every record released through that, because yeah. I was really into that sound.
Fantastic.
Mm-hmm. How did this happen that you later ended with 4AD?
The whole story about that, actually it started all the way, actually before we got the in touch with Tony, 4AD reacted on our first EP we ever did in 2003. They didn't end up releasing it, but they wanted, you know, that they were interested and say, hey, we're interested in it. And so we were always a little bit in touch with them, kind of kept that going. And then when we made Parades, the last album, on the Leaf, mm-hmm. I think, I'm still not exactly sure how it happened, but I think the guitar player, or one of the guitar players of the National, mm-hmm. Bryce Dessner, was really liked that record. So he said, hey, to his A&R at 4AD, you should check this out. And then Roger Trust, that is now our A&R, got really excited about it. And then we went to South by Southwest in 2009, I think, in Austin, Texas. And then this weird thing happened where we were playing at this day party. And we were supposed to play at a certain town, at a certain time, but the whole program got pushed a bit. After us, Camera Obscura were playing, that was a newly signed 4AD artist. Mm-hmm. And since the whole program got pushed, we ended up playing exactly when Camera Obscura was supposed to play. So in front of us, the 4AD office, watching after Glenn. And they were all really happy with that. It was really a shitty show, to be honest. It was a really weird show. But they were really happy, and then it happened. That just kind of...
I imagine it was a happy occurrence for you as well.
It was, to be honest, it was really weird, because at this point you have to imagine that we've been around for 10 years, and suddenly at this South by Southwest, and it's also a long story too, but this is a big, big music festival in America, where thousands of bands are playing, and everyone wants to get this record deal. It's like this kind of El Dorado, you know, everyone, but nobody, you know, everyone tries and everyone fails in a way. So, but suddenly we're in this American dream, and there's all these labels that wants to sign Efterklang. It's not just 4AD, it's a lot of things. So to us it was a really surreal experience, because, you know, we've been with Leaf and Tony Morley and had a good time, and it's been great, you know, and such and such. But then suddenly, you know, very late, all these things happen. So we were just like, whoa, what is happening? And of course, feeling great. And then at the same time, we were also trying to kind of figure out, what do we want to do with our band? How do we want to continue it? And at that time, Efterklang had grown to a different size. And we thought, made some albums with Tony, the Leaf Labels, and it's been great. Now maybe we want to try something else. And 4AD was like a label we all had big respect for, and that we all really loved their releases from. Plus, which was very important, that guy Roger that I talked about, the A&R of the National, was like this guy with, when you met him, you know, like when you talk to him about releasing music and stuff like that, you know, you could feel that there was this kind of Tony thing going, which is not just about making money in music, but it's about kind of like making things happen. And that's whatever we've been doing, it's about meeting those people. So when that, we felt comfortable about that. And then stepping up, because 4AD is a bigger label. So that was to try that out and see how that goes. Mm.
A bigger label, and also a label with a long tradition. You said you quite enjoyed a few bands of theirs.
Oh yeah.
In the past, maybe some names, some of the bands you liked the most.
I'm a big fan of Cocteau Twins, of course, and yeah, and then I think it's I'm quite psyched to be on the same label as Scott Walker. So,
Scott Walker.
I mean, I like both. I'm a big fan of everything Scott Walker is doing, because Scott Walker is a true artist in many ways. Mm-hmm. Of course, I got into his work from the earlier one. That's probably not something 4AD can take their credits for. But I think 4AD has, you know, a long tradition of releasing great records, and it's been like a legendary records. I mean, Dead Can Dance is another great example of that. 4AD. I mean, there's the National we talked about before. There's like, you know, like artists along the way that have kind of created and paved a nice kind of impact of that label and what makes the label what it is. Today, again, without trying to get too much into it, I think it's a difficult time, and it's also an identity crisis for a lot of labels, so we'll see.
Can you maybe sum up in one sentence or two sentences, what's the difference being signed to a small label like Leaf and to a big label like 4AD? They're both independent, and you said to work very closely with both of them.
Well, yeah, it's like coming down to talking to one or 10 people. Yeah, I mean, you work with one person also at 4AD, but there's 10 other people that needs to be convinced about you as well. So it's a different, it's a very different situation. But luckily for us, it's still the same setup. When we do records, we make the records exactly as we like them to be. And we deliver them and they release them. If they don't want to release them, they just don't release them. But there's no one going saying, hey, you should do
that. Did you send them a record and they didn't want to release it?
For ID?
Yeah.
No, not yet. We'll see.
Good luck.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe just one more question, or two questions. You know, you had a nice or interesting experience recording your last album, because you went to Spitsbergen.
Yeah.
And I saw a movie, Norwegian movie, political thriller, but it was more about because of the beautiful environment, which also happened partly in Spitsbergen, called Orion's Belt. Did you maybe see that? Orion's Belt?
No.
No?
What is that again?
A Norwegian movie.
Yeah, no.
From 80s.
No, I haven't seen.
How did you decide to go to Spitsbergen, you know, from all the places you could go to?
Yeah, no, the place Pyramida was the reason why we went. And that was because we simply just fell in love with it. We saw it in photos. Someone sent us some photos of the place. And then we would just...
That you're traveling the world quite a bit, touring. Did you find any new places that might inspire you in the future?
There were so many. I mean, this is my first time in Ljubljana, for instance. And I mean, every time you come to a new place, you get a little bit inspired, yeah.
Maybe just this last question about the gig tonight.
Yeah.
You know, what do you focus on when you're playing live? Do you try to, you know, present the songs as accurate or as they are on your records, or do you try to find some new aspect?
What we're trying to do live is to try to take something with us. It's like, you know, a little luggage. And then we'll try and unpack that luggage in the place where we're playing. So we try to evolve the material we made. We're not trying to do it the same way. But we have something that we're bringing with us. And tonight is going to be a different night than yesterday, for sure.
Excellent. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Takole misli strnil Kasper, frontman zasedbe Afterclang, ki jih danes večer torej lahko vidite v Channel Zero na Metelkovi. Pred njimi nastop še domačin Kristjan Kropa, on ob 21.30 Afterclang ob torej uro poznaj. S Kasperjem sem se pa pogovarjal, Goran. Lep pozdrav.
Intervju Radija Študent.